Thanks to the praise team for leading us in worship there. Isn't that great? God is good, amen? God is really good. So, and He blessed us with their efforts and their talent. So, God is good. God is here, and it's such a privilege when we think about God coming down to be with us. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. What a wonderful opportunity to consider during our Advent season how special it is that Jesus came to be with us and what that being with us means to each one. So we're going to be spending these 4 Sundays talking about what it means that God is with us. And my prayer is that you will know that God is with you in specific, practical, real ways that make a difference. In this Advent season, we're waiting for the hope and the expectation that Jesus, the Son of God, has come to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. And so the promise of God is that He's going to come, He's going to be with us. Jesus' birth, God came to be with us. May that ring in our hearts during this month as you contemplate that, as you think about it. During this month, may it just grow more and more in your heart. So we're going to be looking at the regular people involved in the birth of Jesus. Today we're going to look at Joseph because, you know, they're just regular people. They're just like you and I going about their daily work, daily business, you know, the hopes and joys and the difficulties and all that kind of stuff. They're just regular folks just like us. And Jesus decided to come and through regular people just like us and make a difference. And so the advantage of that is, of course, we can learn from them because they're like us and what it meant to them and the things that they had to go through. You know, when we go through those kind of things, you know, we can know that Jesus' promise is heard, make a difference for us. Today, Joseph. And so today's idea is this: when life does not go as we had planned. Ever had an experience like that? How about every day? Every day. Sometimes in the little things and sometimes in the big things, right? When life doesn't quite go as we planned. And so I've entitled this message, Life Interrupted. Serious interruptions. Sometimes the interruptions are serious. Maybe a major illness, death in the family, a breakup of a relationship. Something that's unplanned and something that's unexpected. And then it hits us. We just weren't ready for that. It happens in little times, too. I mean, not little times, little ways. Maybe can't find a parking space, and you have to walk further, and then it rains the day that you're going to go walking in the park. Maybe no gas. I went to visit a patient one time, part of our church family, got to the hospital, and I'm sorry, there's no patient by that name in this hospital. I said, well, that sounds weird. Okay, I know he's in the hospital. So I called him up. I called the family. I'm saying, which hospital is he? And it was a different hospital. I didn't want to say, well, I'm in the lobby of the other hospital right now, but, I blew that part, you know. And so, you know, life always kind of throws us a little bit of curves. Married guys? Married ladies, right? You're identifying with me, right? You understand? Okay, yeah. Sometimes that person you're attached to is very unpredictable. Isn't that right? Isn't that not right? Your life ever been interrupted? We all have to say, yes, regularly, often. Well, Joseph's life was interrupted, seriously interrupted. Joseph lived in Nazareth, was pledged. And when the Bible says pledge, it's even more serious than engagement because they call each other husband and wife. To be married, it's kind of like an engagement, but more. They were going to be married, to marry. So you can imagine Joseph making plans and, you know, making the red wedding arrangements, where they're going to live afterwards, his work, how is he going to support the family, having a life together. Looking forward to a brand new chapter in his life. You can just imagine Joseph. Maybe, you know, when you expect that big thing to happen like that, it's going to change your life. And Everything a new husband or about to be new husband would think about, looking forward to that new aspect of his life. Then he finds out that his fiance is pregnant. And he knows it's not by him. Wouldn't you say that was quite an interruption? Quite a disappointment? He probably had normal human reaction to that news. I mean, he's a regular human just like us, right? He was probably hurt. He may have been outraged. He might have been disbelief. What? No, not Mary. Are you sure? Grief. His girlfriend, his engaged person, had been unfaithful to him. Probably felt betrayed, lied to, deceived. I've counseled people and they say, "Oh, I was a fool. I didn't see it. I didn't see it happening." So a lot of times they feel pretty foolish. All his plans are smashed, no marriage. Oh, I got to get my deposit back from the wedding hall. I'm going to cancel that cake and tell my family and friends the wedding is off. I mean, we're talking about a major adjustment here. Not only financially, but emotionally and relationally. We're talking about a major adjustment. These kinds of interruptions are very, very difficult. Whether we have a big one or small ones, there's constantly adjustments, interruptions. Maybe the washing machine breaks and you can't use it just when you've got all this load of stuff to wash. You get car troubles. You get sick and you can't go to work. Or maybe you get laid off from work. Death of a loved one. There's always constantly interruptions, unplanned interruptions in our lives. Well, how do we get through those interruptions, especially the difficult ones? Joseph's story will tell us. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'll be reading from verse 18 on. Joseph will start. How do we get through the interruptions? The central truth, the central principle I want to land on today is this: God is with us. God is with us. Amen? Amen. God is with us. And whether our lives are feel out of control, things are chaotic, we can know with assurance that the presence of God is going to make a difference for us when those interruptions hit us. God is with us. So Matthew chapter 1, starting from verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, this is before he understood and knew that this was by the Holy Spirit. Okay, because the Holy Spirit tells him after this. He decides to do the honorable thing instead of subject her to humiliation and public scrutiny and scandal. And if he would have done so, she probably would have never had another chance at being married, which would have been almost a death knell to someone in that culture, in that society. For a young woman to be pregnant and out of wedlock, none of the other community people would have married her. Verse 20, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." At this point, most guys would say, "Yeah, right." But it was an angel of the Lord. He knew that. Verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. How did Joseph survive this major interruption? Righteous. It says he's righteous in verse 18. He walked with God. Righteous just means he walks with God. He was concerned. He was focused. He was attuned to God in his life, and he tried to live as God would want him to do. And in this, he actually thought of her. when we have interruptions, we usually focus on, man, this is just messing up my day. We usually think of ourselves. Isn't that true? It's messing up my day when we think about interruption. But he actually thought of her. He didn't want her to be humiliated in this community. And so he was going to put her away quietly. He was concerned for her reputation, what she was going through. Her. Instead of just being concerned for himself, he was concerned for her. That's what righteousness means. Beloved, real righteousness shows up in those difficult interruptions. Real righteousness. We can claim to be righteous. But when those interruptions take place, and our response tells us if there's real righteousness in there. And that's why Joseph was picked to be the father. Because he was righteous. And it shows up when he finds out that Mary is pregnant. He didn't want to harm her. He didn't want to lash out at her. He just wanted to, didn't want to humiliate her in this community. He's going to put her away quietly. Good for him. There's a nobility about righteousness, a concern for others about righteousness. And Joseph exhibited that. And we almost have to ask the question, did the following happen because he responded so well? Now, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say, because he responded so well, he got the dream. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But we have to note that this sequence of events, he responded so well. When we feel like the life is chaotic, we're out of control, we're falling apart, not going the way we planned, rest in assurance, folks, God is in control. God is in control. Hallelujah. He's doing something. God is working his plan for us. Like Joseph's, God interruptions can be life-changing. They can even be history-making. They can even be earth-shattering. The start of something miraculous to save the world from sin and death. Thank you, Jesus, for the interruption in this case. When we surrender ourselves to Christ, we know that our lives and the events in our lives are under God's control and God's plan to the one who's given their life to Christ. And so, in looking at Joseph, we can know that when our lives are out of control, and they are sometimes, and sometimes you will feel like it in this next month, no time for anything, God is in control. So what did Joseph know when the angel came? Let's read what the angel said. Again, verse 20. After he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. First of all, Joseph knew that God was with him when he had the dreams. Important to know, because often when our lives are chaotic or our lives are interrupted, we feel very much alone. When our plans go awry, when life is chaotic, when we're not working, it's not working out as we had hoped, or certainly not as we had planned. Life is not working out as we thought it would. We can feel very much alone. No one can feel the hurt that we do. No one knows the disappointment that I felt or that we felt. No one understands the confusion. No one understands the disruption. We get isolated by our feelings because we think no one else knows, because I'm the one going through this. No one else understands or can relate to me or to us. When we have to face a disappointment or hurt, it feels like we're all alone, and that's called isolation. I've talked to divorced people. They feel like they've lost all their friends suddenly don't come around anymore. I mean, they haven't changed. They're just divorced. And all of a sudden, their friends could come around. I've heard this from people with serious illnesses. You know, nobody calls anymore. Nobody calls anymore. I've heard this when there's controversy. All of a sudden, friends abandon you. Feel very much alone. Scandalous, people start shunning you. You feel very much alone. You can imagine the two of them. Wow. Alone. Joseph had to face ridicule alone. He's teased by the community. No one else would know his heartbreak. But when the angel showed up in a dream, he knew he was not alone. God is with me, even though no one else might be. God is with me. And that was proved by the appearance of the angel. Beloved, isolation is a strategy of the evil one. And it's an enormous lie that we're alone. The truth is, you're not. We're not. We're not ever alone. There's always somebody who understands us and really is ready to be there to listen to us and to comfort and walk with us. And if there's not someone, obviously God is with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the evil one uses it as a strategy to make us vulnerable. He's a liar, and his lies to get us off by ourselves. And when we're alone, he can pick us off so much easier. He starts by fostering that bitter heart. And then he continues it by fostering the doubt of God. Beloved, we're not alone. Ever. Ever. Amen? Receive that as comfort and promise and truth. We're not ever alone. Emmanuel, God is with you. Luke 17:21, Jesus says, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observations. In other words, it's not a mental thing, watching the signs of the times to find out when God's going to come. No, that's not a thing. You know, the sun rise today? Well, is that an indication that God... No. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. We're not alone, ever. Because God is with us. Remember Elijah? He had heavy-duty ministry in 1 Kings chapter 19. Heavy-duty ministry. He got exhausted, so he went off in the wilderness by himself. And as he sat there in despair, he said, oh, I'm the only one. And God shows up and says, what are you doing here? I don't know if you use that intonation. You know, I just kind of added that to myself. You know, but he said, what are you doing here? He says, well, I'm the only one. I'm the only one who's faithful to you. He said, no, you're not. I've got 7,000 people right over there who've never bowed down to Baal. You're not alone. Now get up and go take care of business. And so he got up and took care of business. God's business. We're never alone, folks. Never. And when the angel says what he says to Joseph in 20 and 21... he's letting Joseph in on the plan. Hey, God's got a plan here, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a son. And we want you to name him Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. Because of the angel and the message, Joseph knew that God was guiding him. This is not just a chaotic, disastrous interruption in my life. This is part of God's plan. God's going to use this for some enormous good here. He will save his people from their sins. Imagine Joseph thinking about it. What? How's that going to happen? I mean, it's almost too grandiose to even consider. Save his people from their sins. What? I mean, a regular mind probably couldn't have grasped that before it actually happened. But Joseph knew that God was guiding him. People always ask the question when the plans are interrupted, what should I do now? What should I do now? Plans are made, future planned out, but when those plans change, well, what should I do now? The question is asked by a spouse, person whose spouse had left them, what am I going to do now? They're not around. When we discover a major illness or loss of job or a financial setback or the grades falter or we fail a test, all the same question, what should I do now? When I was in elementary school, all my friends kind of decided they didn't like me. So on recess, we used to always go out to the basketball court and play basketball. Either that, or if it wasn't basketball season, we'd play kickball. And so automatically, you just go out there, you know, start playing with the ball. Well, when they all decided that they didn't like me, I knew I couldn't go over there. So when recess came, what do I do now? I can't go over where I usually go. So I had to kind of find a new place, and find some people that would hang out with me. What do I do now? Same idea. God supplied Joseph with what he wanted him to do. Have the child, take Mary, and name him Jesus. When we know God is with us, we know the answer will come. And so, beloved, if you're in a chaotic situation, if you're in a confusing situation, if your life is interrupted, go to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do now? Go to the Lord. Have people pray with you. Have people pray to study. Look, read the scriptures. And you know, there's a lot of people who say, you know, I was reading the scriptures and I turned them, there it was, that was my answer. I've not done that myself personally. But I've heard people share that. Yes, the scriptures spoke to me. Read the scriptures. God will show you in some way or some capacity what he has for you. Exodus 15, 13. Bible says, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. In other words, God will show you what to do. He'll show you. Psalm 48, 14 says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. He will show you. Life interrupted. There's a story about some businessmen who were, their business meeting had gone late, and so they were at the airport in Chicago. What's the name of it? O'Hare, thank you. O'Hare. There's a long story behind that, and I know the story, but I forgot the name. But they were at O'Hare Airport, and it was, plane was, you know, so they were running to the gate. And as they were running to the gate, several of them were there, and they were just, they got to make their plane, and they were running to the gate, and there happened to be a fruit stand. And on this fruit stand, there was a, you know, it's one of these gift baskety kind of things, you know, where these gift boxes are wrapped up, and there's a bunch of apples in them, and they're tied up really nice, and, you know, they overcharge you so that you can take it home later, and take it home, and if you last minute gift for your wife or something like that, you know, if you forgot the whole weekend, but then you can get it on the way out. And don't tell me you've never done that, okay? So these businessmen were running through the O'Hare, and one of them happened to run too close to this cart, and it flipped. And all the apples went. Packages came apart, apples went out. They all kept running. One saw what happened. Stopped. You guys, go ahead. I'll catch you back later. He turned, and there was a little boy. He said, how did this little boy be in charge of this? He must have been like a son of somebody or something, you know. He was in tears, just bawling his eyes out. And so he goes to the little boy and helps him collect the apples, and puts them back in the little baskets, and writes the apple cart, and puts them back. The boy is just sobbing. Tries to help him tie the bow and does what he can. He reaches into his pocket and pulls out three big bills and hands them to the boy. He says, well, I hope this will take care of the damage. I'm sure this is more than enough. The boy takes it. And so he's starting to walk back to the counter to get another plane. And the boy says, Mister, are you Jesus? Sometimes when our lives are interrupted, people see Jesus. If we handle it well, people see Jesus. Mister, are you Jesus? For this God is our God forever and ever. You will be our guide even to the end. If that was me, I would probably be still running to the gate. I mean, you know, I'm a time guy, you know. Got to get there. Said I'd be there. I hope I'd be the guy who stops and sometimes when we let ourselves be interrupted, good things happen. What's the third message from the angel? Essentially, he says this pregnancy was not because of infidelity, but because it's part of God's plan. Instead of being embarrassed and humiliated, Joseph could feel very special and humbled. Wow, God chose us. Phew. What an enormous privilege. God chose us. Joseph knew God was going to use us for his good. For his good. And for Mary's good. You don't always believe interruptions are for our good, do we? Interruptions are, of course, they're a bother. They're an annoyance. They keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing, what we want to do. But God uses interruptions for our good. It's important to know it because chaos or out of control produces uncertainty. We can be very fearful. How is this going to end? What's going to happen to us? We start fearing the future. Emmanuel, beloved, God is with us. And when God is with us, He will redeem this interruption, no matter how difficult it might be. Remember the Old Testament Joseph, one of the 12 brothers, worked together and they conspire to get rid of him. They sell him to this traveling caravan. He ends up in Egypt. This is a different Joseph. He ends up in Egypt, and in Egypt, he does God's will, and he becomes prime minister. Later, the other brothers come because they need food from Egypt. He's the one in charge of distributions. And later on, when they realize that he's Joseph and they're afraid that he's going to get back to them, what does he say? He says, "You intended to harm me. God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Wow, what a great attitude, wasn't it? I mean, he had a major interruption. He was his father's favorite. He was going to grow up the privileged child. His life was set before him. Whisked off to slavery in Egypt. What a major interruption. And yet he placed himself in God's hand. God accomplished great things through him. He realized why he was in Egypt, for the saving of many lives. You intended to harm me, but God intended this for good. Can we think of it that way? Next time you get a flat tire, oh man! Got a delay now. But what if God knew that 10 minutes down the road you would have been in a terrible accident? We don't know that, right? We don't know that. All we know that it just didn't fit my plan. I was supposed to be gone. I'll be late. Well, he might have just saved your life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose." For the good, dear ones. For the good. No matter how chaotic, how out of control, how traumatic, with God in our lives, it's going to work out for the good. There's a story about a woman named Kara Tippett. You might be aware of her. She and her husband Jason, when they're four beautiful children, they moved to Colorado Springs in 2012. They were going to do some church planting there, and they started a church there. And so she decided to just set up a blog, and she called her blog Mundane Faithfulness. And she was just going to write about what it's like to raise four children and try to influence them for Jesus and try to be part of the work and still raise four children and how hectic that life is and all that kind of stuff. And she was just going to blog about it. A year in, this would be now 2013, she discovered that she had breast cancer. And of course, they went through the usual treatments, and her blog became an opportunity for her to talk about her illness and to just process it and share it. And it started getting picked up all over, not only the United States, but all over the world, because people would be reading and supporting and praying and just so caught up in the drama of human life. A publisher got a hold of what she was writing on her blog, and so she actually wrote her book. So in 2014, her first book, The Hardest Piece, that's the title of it, was released. And it's followed by two more books the next year, because her following is so great. Just over a year later, on March 22nd, 2015, Kara went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, leaving four children and a very grieved husband. Her blog and books continue to be an inspiration and an encouragement to thousands of people around the world. Near the end of her life, she wrote this: "My little body has grown tired of battle, and treatment is no longer helping. But what I see, what I know, what I have in Jesus, He has still given me breath. And with it, I pray I would live well and fade well. By degrees, doing both, living and dying, as I have moments left to live, I get to draw my people close, kiss them, and tenderly speak love over their lives. I get to pray into eternity my hopes and fears for the moments of my loves. I get to laugh and cry and wonder over heaven. I do not feel like I have the courage for this journey, but I have Jesus, and He will provide. He has given me so much to be grateful for, and that gratitude, that wondering over His love, will cover us all, and it will carry us in ways we cannot comprehend." One of the worst interruptions in any person's life. And this was her testimony. In the hardest days of her life, Kara Tippett was marked by an amazing sense of gratitude and love. Incredible sense of gratitude. She was carried by a peace beyond imagination. A peace that only the Holy Spirit can provide. Beloved, when life interrupts, God is with us. Amen? God is with us. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, all of us here have faced those interruptions. We all know what it means, Father. Life doesn't go the way we thought. Thank You that You came to be with us. And as we think about Advent, as we think about what it means that You came as a little human, that You came to be with us, that we would always know, we would always have Your peace. And then when life interrupts, Father, when life interrupts, and it does, may we know the power of Your birth and life in us. Amen.